my side. And Thomas says, my Lord and my God. I believe that all of Thomas's life, from that moment on, he remembered that as a thorn in his flesh. He could never forget it, how he doubted. And every time that Thomas would try to raise above himself, the voice would come clear and true to him. Thomas, you doubted at the time. You had to see before you could believe. I believe he carried that thorn in his flesh until he died, remembering how he doubted the power of God. Peter, I think, had a thorn in the flesh one time in his life. In fact, I think he bore two of them. Christ, as he is in the upper room talking to him when they were taking the bread and the wine, I used to think that Judas Iscariot was never there at the time when he took the bread and wine and when he washed their feet. But you better go back and read the scriptures again. It says, and sitting down with the 12, he did take bread and break it and says, take, eat. This is my body. And likewise, he took the cup and gave thanks and said, this is the New Testament in my blood. Drink you all of it. And they all drank of it, Mark said, sitting down with the 12. So Judas Iscariot must have been there. The Bible's true, and it said that the 12 was there. But Peter, at the time when he had broke the bread and took the cup, he began to tell them what was going to happen to him at Jerusalem. And Peter said, Lord, I won't let this happen to you. I won't let it happen to you. And he tells them that one of you is going to betray me, and all of you are going to be offended because of me. You're going to run away from me. And Peter says, Lord, though all men forsake you, I'll die with you. Peter, before the rooster crows one time in the morning, you will deny me three times. And he swore with an oath he wouldn't do it. And there's a time in the scriptures that says when Peter was denying Christ for the third time, the rooster was crowing in the distance. And one of the writers writes and says, Christ turned and looked at Peter. And I imagine that that thorn in Peter's flesh followed him till he died. He never forgot that look. When Christ looked at him and said, Peter, though you deny me, I still love you. I'll die for you. I don't believe Peter ever forgot that look. And he bore that thorn in his flesh till the day he died. For every time when Peter would try to stand up and boastfully raise himself above, he remembered that he denied his Lord. How many times have we denied him? How many times have we turned our back and failed to witness for him and witness to what we have? I'm reminded so much of our life here in this life as we walk from day to day. How many times in your life, from day to day, from the time you get up until you go back to bed, how many times have you told someone you love the Lord? Have you ever stopped and said, do you ever stop and just sometime and praise him for what he's done for you? Or just in silent meditation to him, thank him for all the things he's given you in this life? We never do it. We run all day long and never stop to look up from where all the blessings come from. We're constantly looking down. When every blessing that we have comes from above, that's what the Bible tells us, for every good and perfect gift comes from above. I'm reminded constantly in every day of my life of all the thorns in my flesh, that I'm reminded that I don't praise him enough. I don't look to him enough. I don't speak about him enough. I went into a man's place of business for years, a long time, and I never knew he was a preacher until I saw him in a church. And I told him, I said, you and I ought to be ashamed of ourselves. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Because all the time that I knew you and all the time you knew me, we never once ever talked about our Lord. We never once ever praised him and said how much we loved him. Why? Because we're so wrapped up in the cares of this world and the cares of everyday living that we forget where our help comes from. I think that the Lord ought to give us a thorn in the flesh that would remind us constantly of what we are and who we are and where we come from. But then I'm reminded of another thorn that far greater excels any thorn you'll ever espouse in your flesh. In the book of Matthew, in the 27th chapter, read it sometime. Just sit down and read it and meditate on it. Oh, how it'll wring you out and tear your heart out. It says, as they were scourging him, and they put a purple robe on him and knelt the knee to him, a man was plaiting a crown of thorns, and they pressed it down on his head. He bore the thorns in his flesh that you and I might remember, that you and I might look to him and see as he walked that road to Calvary, bearing on his brow a crown of thorns. And every one of those thorns pierces our heart as we think about them. And he bore the crown of thorns to Calvary, and there they offered him vinegar and mingled with gall and nailed him to a cross. And then I'm reminded of the words he said, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up. At the appointed moment he died, no man took his life from him. He gave it away, bearing a crown of thorns as he gave it away. If those thorns don't pierce your heart, there's something wrong. When I think of thorns, I think of the brow of Christ. And then Matthew gives the account, as he was hanging on the cross, they parted my garments, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. If we've ever walked to the foot of the cross and saw him there, bearing on his brow the thorns that pierces our heart, a thorn in the flesh to remind us of all the sinfulness of ourselves, a thorn in the flesh that we may not exalt ourselves above measure. Saul of Tarsus could never rise up again ever in Paul, for the thorn in the flesh pushed him down every time, reminded him of who he was and how he persecuted the church. I wonder sometimes, as we criticize and try to slander people, are we having a thorn in the flesh? If the thorn in our flesh reminding us how weak and undone we are, it should. Some of the members have to go. They have other places to go today, and we'll be considerate of them. We're going to have communion, and those of you who are here that are visiting with us, that are born again of the Spirit and baptized and have a desire to eat with us and have communion with us, you're welcome to stay, whatever your desire is. Each member we ask to come and have communion, and we do it in remembrance of him who loved us enough to shed his blood for us and redeem a people unto himself. This do in remembrance of me, and that's what we do today. We do this in remembrance of him. We'll stand and sing a couple of verses of some song. I think it's Father, We Rest in Thy Love. I think that's what Brother Perkins wanted. Last hymn in the book. If there's someone here who has had a desire to cast their lot with these people and to speak to this church, the doors are open, and you may come and speak to them as we sing, Father, We Rest in Thy Love. You may stand.
Go ahead, man. Father, we rest in thy love. Father, we rest in thy love. Father, we'll rest. Father, we'll rest. We'll rest in thy love. will rest in my love.
Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his throne be all the majesty and praise from this day forward. Father, we'd ask thee to watch over us and keep us as we depart this building, and lead us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.